word from Scripture that Reverend Hannah is going to bring to us in the message comes to us from the Gospel of Luke in the 10th chapter. It's kind of a continuation of the lesson that we had last week. If you remember, last week Jesus got challenged by a lawyer about, you know, who is my neighbor. And so after Jesus had this long, heavy encounter, after he's probably tired now, after walking a little bit, now we pick up the story here in verse 38. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." May these words of our Lord bless you today. Reverend Hannah.
To understand the cultural settings of the day, how women were viewed in a Jewish, Middle Eastern, first century Judea, and what their society allowed them and expected of them. First of all, when we read the Gospels or even the book of Acts, we find that it transparently reflects the patriarchal culture and society it came from and it was written to. For example, the miracle of feeding the multitudes. We gospel authors tell us that Jesus fed 5,000 what? Men. But we can expect that there was probably as many women and as many children. So Jesus, in fact, fed 50,000 people all in all. And again, in the book of Acts, Luke gives us the number of the people who were baptized on the day of Pentecost. And he says that 3,000 what? Men were baptized. And we rightfully assume that there, the people who were baptized on that day were anywhere between 9,000 and 10,000 people, including women and children. Women in a patriarchal society had a secondary value, secondary place and role. And when it comes to spirituality and learning the scriptures, again, men and women were not equal. As far as we know, no rabbi in history or at the time of Jesus had female disciples. Jesus was a rabbi. That's what people called him, rabbi, which translates teacher in our English Bibles. So keeping all that in mind, we realize that Jesus was dealing with a taboo and breaking some social norms of his day at the expense of his own reputation by accepting women disciples. Yes, Jesus had women disciples. We also need to understand that people of old had their own way of saying things. They, like us, used idiomatic speech. And idioms are an interesting part of any language, won't you agree? And they get even more interesting when you try to translate them from one language to another. So between me and my Middle Eastern friends that I know, we have our stories with idioms, American idioms. A friend of mine, when he first came to the U.S., when people asked him, "What's up?" he looked up. And when asked, "Do you work out?" he replied, "I'm not allowed to work. I'm on a student visa." As cool as a cucumber. As a non-American, I can think of a dozen other things that are cooler than a cucumber and that I like more than cucumber, in fact. Why is it not as cool as chocolate mint ice cream? So at first, I heard people saying alive and kicking, and that's an idiom that makes some sense. And I rightfully associated kicking with being alive. Can you see my point? And then I heard people saying, so-and-so kicked the bucket. And they expect me to understand that the person died. And actually, some of your American idioms are scary to an ESL person. When someone says, let's get together for coffee and let me pick your brains. I don't want anyone picking my brains. That's scary. Or, I'm looking for a job. Can you keep an eye out for me? Can I keep both eyes in their place and help you find the job? Or, you're preaching this Sunday. Break a leg. No. That's something that I particularly I'm trying to avoid, to break a leg. So anyways, what we read in today's Bible lesson about Mary, that she sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching, that's an idiom. Any first century Jew who hears or reads that would understand that this is another way of saying Mary was a disciple of Jesus. And I mean she was officially one of his disciples like Peter, James, and John. And just so that you don't think that Vicar is making this up, I read Paul's words when he was saying, "I am Gamaliel's disciple," that esteemed, very well-known rabbi, Gamaliel. So this is how Paul says it. I am a Jew, born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city, he was talking about Jerusalem, educated, listen carefully, at the feet of Gamaliel. And anyone who hears him at that time and culture would understand that he is saying, I was his disciple. Jesus, as far as we know, was the first rabbi ever who had women disciples who were a part of his community and even traveled with him. We read that in Luke 8, verses 1 to 3, when Luke tells us that soon afterwards he, Jesus, went on through cities and villages, traveling from one city to another, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women traveling with him. And he names three of them, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Susanna. And he adds that as well. And many others, that is, many other women, who provided for them, for whom? For Jesus and his disciple. The women provided for Jesus and his disciple out of their means. So they were so involved in the ministry, so active in it as volunteers and financing, as well as financing the ministry. That's a no-no. No women disciples. Everybody knows that. And it's a very social, very strong social norm So much so that not only men expected it, but also women expected and defended it. I remember reading about that Jordanian female member of the parliament who defended honor killing, a woman defending honor killing. The Jordanian legal system gave fathers and brothers who kill female members of the family, the system gave them a break, gave them lighter sentences, less time to do in prison for their crimes, if it were to restore the family's honor. That was their culture. The parliament, the Jordanian parliament, was discussing a bill to make honor killing, honor crimes, equally punishable like any other homicide. And surprisingly, or maybe not, the MP who was against passing the bill was a woman. She was so entrenched in her patriarchal culture. I mean, this is a recent thing. It's not long ago. And she was so brainwashed by the cultural norms that she acted as the keeper, preserver, guardian of that evil custom and cultural norm. And such was Martha. She thought that it was so daring, so presumptuous, so inappropriate, so taboo for her sister, Mary, that Mary would think of herself as a disciple of Jesus, equal to his male disciples. If we go back and read the passage with this background in mind, it might make a little more sense to us. Verse 40, but Martha was distracted with much serving. Martha, a good Jewish woman, was doing all what she thought women ought to do, like tidy up, work in the kitchen, set the table, serve food. And she went up to him, to Jesus, and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Lord, can't you see that Mary is not playing the role expected of her? She should be right here with me, serving, preparing food. She shouldn't be assuming the place and role of men and act like one of your disciples. Tell her, Martha said, I expect you as a good Jewish rabbi to be the preserver of the tradition and a guardian of the culture and gender roles as we know them. Tell her, rebuke her, correct her, put her in her place. But to Martha's surprise, Jesus corrected her. And he affirmed Mary. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. I wonder what was Jesus referring to by many things. Like I heard preachers saying that many things are the many house chores that Martha needed to do, or the many dishes that she was cooking and baking. Could it be the many things people of her village would be thinking and saying about Mary's behavior? And she's the older sister, Martha was. A bunch of hungry men walking all day, preaching, healing the sick, and casting out demons all day. They needed food, and Martha took care of that. I'm sure Jesus appreciated the good hot meal at the end of a day of ministry. I'm sure he appreciated the cleanliness and tidiness of Martha's house. It took her hours and hours to do all that. I'm sure Jesus praised her for that. He corrected her on a totally different issue. And I would like to take this opportunity to talk to the Marthas here. Martha, I want to apologize on behalf of all the preachers who made you feel bad about who you are, about how God created and wired you. God wired you this way because He knows we need you. The fact that you're able to identify the needs in people's lives, in ministry, at the church, and that you're willing to spend time, effort, and resources to meet these needs only means that you're better than the rest of us. You have a bigger heart. You have more mercy, more love to share than the rest of us. You are more Christ-like than the rest of us. If you're a Martha, male or female, by the way, you know that you're a Martha. And contrary to your expectations, everyone knows that you are a Martha. And because everyone in the church has been touched by the love that you demonstrate in very practical ways. Also, please know that we appreciate you more than you think we do. Definitely more than we show it. We're lousy communicators. We don't say thank you enough. You are a hero in Jesus' eyes, and you, Martha, are our hero. And to the Marys, again, we're sorry. We're sorry we have denied you intimacy with Jesus to sit at His feet and listen to His teaching. Sorry, we're not readily willing to hear what you have to teach us, what you have learned from Jesus. We're sorry we denied you places of leadership just because you're a Mary and not a Michael. I think I should stop here before I get myself into trouble. But Mary, please know that you are a hero in Jesus' eyes, and you are our hero. So as we can see, Jesus affirms Mary and teaches Martha and us some precious lessons. But one thing is necessary, Jesus said. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. I like this saying. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Or in less confusing words, get your priorities right. The one thing necessary, the main thing, the most important thing, whether you're a Martha or a Mary, whether you're a female or a male, is to become a true disciple of Jesus. To have a close relationship with Him, to sit at Jesus' feet and hear His words, like Mary, as in understand His words, as in let His words shape your life. The one thing necessary is to love Jesus by obeying His commandments. It is to become like Jesus. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, to become like Him. Jesus said, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, every disciple, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher, his master, his rabbi. The one thing necessary is to live like Jesus, is to love like Jesus, is to give like Jesus, is to forgive like Jesus, is to be filled and anointed with the Holy Spirit like Jesus, to do the works of Jesus that He did and even greater works, to heal like Jesus, to set the captives free like Jesus, to feed the hungry, to preach the gospel to the poor like Jesus, to be a true disciple of Jesus. That will never be taken away from you. Jesus paid a dear price. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. And he did lay down his life on the cross to give you forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And to grant you this very place at his feet to be his disciple, to hear his teaching and become his disciple. When you receive God's grace today and life eternal, when you let the Holy Spirit make you a child of God and a true disciple of Jesus and make you more like Jesus, you have chosen the good portion, because your relationship with God, your identity as his child, as son, his son and daughter, will never be taken away from you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.